بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولا يصلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My dear most respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem, from the beginning till the end, and every single moment of revelation that came down from Iqra, right up until the end of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's receiving of that wahi in his life in Medina, speaks of one lesson over and over again. And that is the lesson of adab and culture. Before every fiqh or any fiqh was taught to people, before anything that directed their physical life that was visible to them was sent down and revealed unto them, the spirituality or the adab and the attitude that they would have to adopt in order to make everything else useful was taught to them. For that was the very first stumbling block of shaitan. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him and the malaika to bow down, to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Aba wa stakbar. That he had two qualities inside him that led to his downfall. And when that downfall came, before I comment on those two qualities, when that downfall came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not look at his rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not look at his services, if he had rendered any. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take into consideration that he happened to dwell in the most expensive and valuable real estate in this world, that is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take that into account. But rather, aba wa stakbar. That all he did was that he refused. Now refusing people is one thing, but refusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a catastrophe. Refusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either verbally, now that was the audacity of shaitan. Refusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically, that is unfortunately the modus operandi of many human beings. But what he did is that he was audacious enough to refuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he committed a felony, a crime that was unforgivable, that resulted in such an expulsion, that resulted in such a punishment that would be for time immemorial, wastakbar. That he showed attitude, he showed pride. He showed pride in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result, he was rejected. You see, my respected friends, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to summarize that culture that existed in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, one khutbah that really needs to be studied by every one of us is the khutbah that Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu gave in the court of Najashi. When the Muslims were being persecuted in Mecca round about the fifth year of the call, Rasulullah ﷺ gave them permission to leave. To leave Mecca and to, take refuge in the land of Abyssinia, North Africa. It was a predominantly Muslim culture, Muslim country, or rather Christian country at that time. And it would be years later before Islam officially took hold in that region. But Rasulullah ﷺ gave them permission. And eventually they started a small community after two years. The kuffar, of course, made all attempts to bring them back. For they were under the impression that these people would now create a community and they will rebel, they will fight against us, they will become a threat to our stability here in Mecca. When they sent their two emissaries or government representatives to go and bring them back, Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu summarized the culture before Islam and what was the culture after Islam. That he tells the court of Najashi, including those two messengers that are in front of him, that nahnu qawmun, that we were a people, we were a nation. We did not know our kith and kin. We ate carrion. We committed such acts of personal lewdness that were indescribable. Three or four sentences wherein he describes the attitude of Jahiliyyah. That when it came to self-respect amongst us, we knew nothing. When it came to personal consumption, we were not careful what we consumed by way of our food supply. We ate whatever came our way. And when it came to our general outlook on life, we were materialistic. And then he counters that by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a Nabi that taught us kith and kin.
that taught us the value of consumption and what it means to put inside your belly and your stomach those things that are wholesome. And he taught us these characteristics and he made us recite Quran. And he recites in front of them Surah Maryam. And when that surah is recited, describing the commonality between Islam and the people of the Christian faith, that every fact and every message that was conveyed by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam included inside that surah, then of course they were sold at that point in time to the realization that these people here are cultured, they are peaceful. Rasulullah ﷺ in that entire stay in Makkatul Mukarramah developed what is known as the culture of Islam. So that when it went to Medina, and when those ahkam and those laws came down one after the other, they were built upon a bedrock of personal culture that Rasulullah ﷺ had nurtured for 12, 13, 14 years. My respected friends, we are living in an age wherein we value information. A degree in front of you, your child learning a textbook in front of a teacher, that remains information unless you infuse that individual with culture first. The culture and the attitude of the approach towards an institution, an approach towards a teacher, an approach towards a system, which comes before a person gains information. For when a person gains information, and as a result of that information gains a degree, gains a doctorate, gains a piece of paper, it may guarantee that individual an occupation. It may give you a license to practice a particular occupation, but it doesn't necessarily make you a human being. The idea of education is that this individual in society becomes a cultured person. And this is the idea of Muslim education. It is not from the teachings that were developed after the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But if you look at his interaction with the young and even the elderly Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that on one occasion, I spent a night with Rasulullah ﷺ and I had his water, his miswak, and whatever he required for his tahajjud salah available and ready for him. I feigned as if I was asleep. And when I saw him wake up, I knew that if I had woken up immediately before him, he would have put me back to sleep, because we are talking of a child that's not yet in his teens at this time. That he would have bid me, you know, to go back to sleep. Your time to stand up is not right now. You go back to sleep. I feigned as if I was asleep. And when I saw him in salah, I stood to the left of him. He caught me with his right hand by the ear or the area just below my ear and put me to the right, because when a muqtadi and an imam and both of them, just two of them, stand together, they will stand side by side to the right of the imam. After the salah was over, he asked Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. Remember, this is not a time of fiqh where all these things are codified and you will stand here as a muqtadi and you will stand here as an imam and this will happen as a mazbuk. All these terms were not even coined at that time. Rasulullah ﷺ asked him, why didn't you stand next to me? And he says that it doesn't befit me to stand next to or immediately in line with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he asked him, that was it you that left the water and the siwak ready for me to use? Then he says, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time makes a dua for him. Allahumma allimhu deen, that O Allah teach him knowledge. Wafahimhu, and give him the tafheem, the understanding. And one special knowledge that made him the imam of his time, وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّعْوِيلِ, and give him the knowledge of the interpretation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what does it mean? That it's not just recitation, but inside is such ilm and such knowledge that people today have not as yet got to the depths of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even scratched the surface of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give him that ta'leem and give him that knowledge. But yet, even though he was related to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pursuing on that path of knowledge, and yes indeed this may be ascribed to the knowledge of deen, which we understand has got its merits and has got its particular rank. But the idea is not merely to debate what type of knowledge the man is seeking, but rather the attitude of the man, the position and the rank of the man, and his perseverance, and how he is now going and he's adopting a culture of knowledge, a culture of learning, that led to him being known as a sage of his time. He mentions, or rather the people in his time mention, that we would notice that this boy, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, that he would come to the doors of certain sahaba radiallahu anhu. When he would be informed that the person who you wish to meet is asleep right now, he was taking his afternoon nap. He would sit at the door. He would cover himself up with his sheet so that he would be protected from the dust of the road. When the occupant of the house would wake up, they would ask him that, Abdullah, you are the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After all, Abbas radiallahu anhu is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. You are the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are from the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You could have woken us up, that we would have attended to you immediately on the spur of the moment. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu tells them that it is not befitting of a student to disturb his teacher. I'm here to learn from you. And as a result of years and years of perseverance, even as a young man, it used to be the honor of especially Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu that he would love to showcase. He would love to showcase the achievements of the young sahaba radiallahu anhu. And this is something that we really need to learn. This is not from modern day terminology or modern day understanding of how you reward and how you merit. But this is exactly from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Their accolades may not have been certificates and trophies of that nature. But their accolades may have been different. But Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was probably the master of this field. On one occasion, he wanted to display to the world that this cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason why he's revered, the reason why he's respected, is not because of his contacts and his connections. It's not because he's associated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's there on his place. But there is something additional about him, that he's worthy of that reverence. He's worthy of that respect. And what he does is that he calls the senior sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he puts Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu in that same gathering. And he could observe from the faces of the people that why is this young boy here? This is not a playground. This is not an amusement park. Why is he sitting here amongst us? Then he asked him an important, pertinent question that at that time, few people had the knowledge thereof. He asked them that you see the surah, Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, what was the message? What was the theme of the surah? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it down? Many people gave different responses and answers. Somebody says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to create, you know, make his tasbih, or because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us victory in Badr and Hunayn and all the various battles that ensued after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Different responses to that question. It was only Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu in that gathering that responded and said that you see this surah was there to inform the entire world that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time in this dunya is limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call him back very shortly. That his mission, his assignment, the purpose of why he was sent down as far as the message is concerned is coming to a termination. Hence the instruction is for him. That when you see the help of Allah, you see the afwaj or the armies or the groups of people, you see them coming in reference to the various Arab tribes, you see them coming to subscribe to Islam and show you submission and submission to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then now your assignment is coming to fruition. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When you see this, then you will make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and istighfar. Because istighfar is made when? On the termination of every great amal. After salah, astaghfirullah. After a person returns from hajj, he is destined to make istighfar as well. Istighfar for any shortcomings in between. In the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, li'uluwi darajat, so that his rank may be lifted, and it may be a lesson for the ummah, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you that your efforts are coming to fruition, this is your response, tasbih and istighfar, tasbih and istighfar, as a message and as a lesson unto the ummah. However, my respected friends, the boy, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that understanding was because of the culture that was developed before, because of his nature, because of his upbringing. And this, my respected friends, is the message that the ummah needs to learn. That every morning, when a person drops their child off at a university, at a school, or any institution for that matter, You will gain information there, but you will gain knowledge when those words and those textbooks are coupled with adab and etiquette as well. That when they go in a combo deal, then you will see results. Otherwise, you will graduate a person with information. And he will take that information and maybe seek an occupation. He will earn money from that occupation. But whether the results of him actually being a human being from that information, that will always remain up in the air unless that information is coupled with the culture, with the understanding of what it means to be a Muslim. Rasulullah SAW on one occasion, and this I'll conclude. Rasulullah SAW was asked that akramun nas, who are the most noble of people? In one narration, khiyarukum, khiyarun nas. Who are the best of people? Rasulullah's response, khiyaruhum fil jahiliya, khiyaruhum fil Islam idha faqahu. That the best of them who were the best in jahiliya, will continue to be the best in Islam so long as they understand the deen. Now what is Rasulullah referring to? Rasulullah is referring to this point that those who had the best character, those who were noble, those who were simple, those who were people who stayed away and shunned all, you know, evils of life will continue to be the best of society provided they learn the knowledge of deen. Saying that these people, because of their culture, always have the upper hand. Because of the adab and etiquette, will have the upper hand. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, his mother, when she used to prepare him for knowledge, and as simplistic as this example may sound, it is a message unto every parent that she would put on his best clothes, don his amama, and send him to his teacher, Rabia. And she would tell him this one important message, that learn his deen before his adab. Learn his deen before his adab. Adab in reference to his language. That before you learn his eloquence and his mastery of the language, learn that deen before he passes away, for that is his element. She could only have done this had she been an involved parent. And she's an involved parent when? This is 1400 or 1350 odd years ago. She could have been an involved parent then. My respected friends, as people and as parents of the younger generation, we desire that certificate, we desire that knowledge, but that knowledge starts with an ingrained culture of adab and etiquette that starts from the day your child is born. You cannot be a person of etiquette whilst you're on a driveway of an institution and utter a vulgarity under your breath. How can you be a person of etiquette in that nature? It is obvious that that will pass on to generation to generation. You cannot be a person of etiquette that gives a mixed message, that one of respect when you're outside the house, but your home is devoid of that personal respect for one another and the occupants and the dwellers of that household as well. The message has to be unified. The message has to be one. And when this message is one, and when it breathes that akhlaq and that character, now couple that akhlaq and that character with that certificate. Be it a certificate of the dunya or be it a certificate of the deen, you have a potential human being in the making. And when a community develops these human beings, then they rise to the status and the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Islam before. Imam Jazari rahmatullah alayhi, the famous compiler of tajweed, that no person completes their tajweed cycle without that, you know, that Jazariya, that Kitab Jazariya. He writes in the Muqaddama about his daughter Salma, who was a young girl. And he says, now here is a great imam of tajweed writing about a child inside his household who happened at that time to be a girl, a different culture altogether, who says that she learned not only my kitab, but she learned all the different 10 lines of the Ashara Qirat, and I am so proud of her, including it inside a text that every scholar of deen completes upon the completion of the tajweed kitab, to show that this was the attitude towards understanding and knowledge of a generation before us. And when we develop the culture of learning, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples it with the understanding of deen and halal, gainful and gainful risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.